This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Let's go, business storytellers. Hey, episode 636 on deck here. Talking to Karen Bright about how to create better lead magnets. And you know, lead magnets are an interesting strategy, in my opinion, because first of all, it is nice to get leads, but it's also harder than ever to actually get people to give you their email because people are trained now that a lot of lead magnets, let's just say it how it is, suck, right? They get me to give you their email and then you read the thing and it's like, blah, blah content, also called crap content, content really annoying to people. So very excited to talk to Karen about that topic today. How do we, first of all, create better content to get people to come to the lead magnet? But then once you're in there, how do we make sure it's actually worthwhile people's time and, you know, they don't feel offended that they had to give their email? Certainly, that's a sales tool. I get it. But at the end of the day, if I give you my email, it needs to be good content. So let's get Karen on the show here. You can connect with her at brightwords.co.uk. She's a freelance copywriter and social media manager. So check her out for that. And let's talk about how do we create better lead magnets that don't suck. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Nice to see you. You're in the UK. I'm in Iowa. It's still dark out here. This is a very rare 7 a.m. Live stream. Really appreciate you making the time. Definitely appreciate the daylight behind you. Still sitting in the dark here. I don't know how much longer. But Karen, tell us about lead magnets. Why the interest in them? And first of all, do you agree or disagree? Does a lot of them just suck?
Yeah, I completely agree. So in basic terms, a lead magnet is a free offering that you're giving to potential leads, people in your audience, in exchange for their email details. And I think traditionally people think of lead magnets as ebooks or white papers, but actually lead magnets can encompass a whole range of different things. So checklists, workbooks, quizzes, surveys, they're all lead magnets, one kind of or another. And I think, you know, everybody loves a freebie, but as you say, it does need to be a freebie that delivers for your audience. And that's not always the case. There are just so many around now. I think it's fair to say.
I mean, everybody uses them and I don't blame them. I do too. But, you know, the other thing, when you talk about traditionally people think of ebooks or whatever, and I don't know, I've said this probably for 10 years now, but there's plenty of ebooks that are produced and they're not even readable on mobile, right? They suck on mobile. I mean, this is probably a new record of me using the S word on the show today here, but you know, it's not, you can't even read it on mobile and it's just horrible. But like a lead magnet could also be just a native website that's behind a login, right? You have to give your email. It doesn't have to be downloadable, or does it?
No, I think it can be all sorts of things. I think it is generally downloadable. I mean, obviously, there is an aim for you as a business owner with a lead magnet. You're obviously wanting to share your expertise, and that could come in a whole load of different formats. It could be a webinar. Obviously, webinars are very, very, you know, effective ways of drawing leads for your business. But generally, it's something that you would download because you want someone's details at the end of that. You need a business purpose for doing a lead magnet. But it's a great way to showcase your expertise, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, so as we're thinking about creating lead magnets, what's like the, let's call it the anatomy of good content of the actual piece? Not to, let's talk about getting people to the piece later, but what's the anatomy of the actual piece? What needs to be in it? How do you make it unique? How do you make it worthwhile people's time?
Yeah, I think there are a number of things that come into play here. So obviously you do need to make it valuable, and that sounds like stating the obvious, but so many lead magnets are just really, really bland and they're not offering something valuable. So it really is worth investing the time in thinking about what you're creating and how you can add value. And I think you hit the nail on the head there with your use of the word unique. It does need to be something unique, and that gets more and more difficult as more and more people create lead magnets. But think about how you can have a unique take on a particular topic. And then I think what's really important, I think this is something that a lot of business owners miss, is that you need to be quite strategic with your lead magnets. So think about your audience's pain points. You're essentially trying to provide a solution to a problem they have often. So it might be that you want to help people, I don't know, give perform a task quicker or save them time or money, or maybe offer certain kind of unique insights that they can't get from elsewhere. And so to do that, you really have to dial into your audience's pain points and have a good understanding of your customer personas. And I'm not sure everybody does that with their lead magnets. The other thing I would say, and I see businesses make this mistake a lot, is often there isn't a clear call to action. So I've read a lead magnet and I'm thinking, well, yeah, but what would you want me to do at the end of this? I think that's a very important point. Give you an example. A few years ago, I was helping a company promote their training courses, and they ran a webinar as a sort of, you know, an opener to that, as a lead magnet for getting some names and details of people who might be interested in their training courses. And they did an absolutely brilliant session. We promoted it really well, but they forgot the bit at the end, the call to action. They just glossed over the slides related to the call to action. And that's so important. It's not a hard sell, a lead magnet, but you do need to make it clear what you expect readers to do next.
You know, what's interesting about the comment about understanding your ICP, and certainly everybody talks about that and everybody says that's important, and everybody says they know their ICP, right? Because we've been in business, Karen, for however many years, and we know them. We know. I mean, we just know. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my God. But at the end of the day, I do see a lot of content that is very me focused, right? We find it interesting. I mean, even Jay Schwedellen on his podcast the other day, he talked about pop-ups on websites. And he says, well, some people don't do them because they don't like them. And he says, but who cares if you like them? Absolutely. They work. Most, right?
Yeah, it's about your audience. It's like with any marketing, and this is the problem, again, that so many businesses make on their websites and their email marketing. It's not about you. It's about your customers. Another thing I would say, another very important point that some businesses get wrong, is make your lead magnet specific. So make sure that, if you're making it broad, you might get a lot of downloads. But you're probably not going to get a lot of leads because you haven't thought through about what you're offering. And I think that's important. So have a think about the different segments in your audience. You might actually have to create different lead magnets, but make it specific. I'll give you another example. I produced a report writing, a lead magnet to promote one of my clients' report writing courses. And that was for a really niche topic. So for medical legal training courses, which there's not a huge demand for, let's be honest. But she got 400 downloads in 24 hours. Because it was very, very targeted and dialed into her audience's pain points. They really wanted to improve their report writing skills for their very specific market. I think that's quite important. But I would add a little caveat to that. When you're creating your content for your lead magnet, you do want to be careful about how much you share. Don't give too much away. Don't give so much away that people won't want to get in touch with you about your products or services. I going back to that medical legal client I just mentioned, I wrote the first draft of the lead magnet for her. And when I read it back, I actually thought to myself, are they going to want the lead? Are they actually going to want her course after they've read this lead magnet? It was just giving too much information away. So it has to be a bit of a balance.
You know, I was going to ask you about CTAs. Maybe we'll find time to come back to that. The niche topic is interesting as well. Very briefly, I mentioned this. So I wrote an article about how to live stream softball and baseball games, youth baseball games. So I'm ranking like number one for that most of the time. But I'm not ranking for how to live stream hockey, youth hockey games, right? But it's very niche. I'm not trying to rank for everything. I'm trying to rank for the different things. And then for the very specific thing. And then I wrote an article on the best cameras to live stream youth sports, because whatever the youth sport is doesn't make any difference. That's one article. So you kind of have to niche down or niche up when it makes sense. Now, let's talk about giving too much away, though, because I struggle with that a little bit. So I'll give you an example. Actually, I'm going to use you as an example. So I bet you could talk about you could give all your knowledge away, your knowledge on how to be a good copywriter, and people could still not do it. Right? Do you agree?
Yes. I completely agree. Yes, you're absolutely right. So sharing some expertise, sharing some tips in your lead magnet, that kind of thing. You're right. There's an absolutely brilliant lady in my community, a lady called Nikki Pilkington, who is an expert on technical SEO, very challenging topic. And she gives away loads of stuff in her emails. Sometimes I think, oh, that's a bit too much information. But actually, she does get people contacting her for follow-up SEO sessions because it's such a complicated topic. So, you know, it's a very, very careful balance. In fact, I've used her services because I've read her emails about technical SEO. They're so valuable. They contain so many gold nuggets of information that I've continued to use, and I've carried on using her services.
You know, the other thing that just crossed my mind when it comes to giving too much away. So I believe, like Andy Crestodina, just talk about everything you know, and people, you know, if people want to do it themselves anyways, they're going to do it themselves anyways. Yes. If they need it also depends on what your service is, right? If it's a professional service, same thing. I mean, it's like some people put their own siding up on their house, right? I would never do it, even if I Google it. I would hire somebody to do it.
Yes.
But how do you, I lost my train of thought here on what I was going to ask you about. But how do you determine, Alex Fink was on the show, Karen, and he talked about that if they can't find content that's not behind a paywall, they just find it somewhere else. And he says most of the time that works because there's so much content out there. So is it, with all this content out there, do you kind of have to give everything away? Or like, how do you, I mean, I struggle with that too, but how do you find the line of how much you share and how you make it unique when everybody is sharing stuff out there?
It's a hard one, that one. I think it's easier for some of my clients, or for me, writing their lead magnets, because a lot of them work in quite niche areas. I work with a lot of B2B technology companies, and they're often working in a very small niche. There's not so much material around on those kind of topics. So in fact, you can be a little bit more reserved about how much you give away. I think it's harder in areas like social media marketing. So I mean, obviously I write lead magnets for my own business. And that's more challenging because everybody's writing about social media marketing. So you need to find a different angle, a different take on it. I think that's the key, really, is to maybe look at a niche or a segment or a market that someone else hasn't considered, a different take on it. Just do something different. Don't do the same that everyone else is doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good advice. Do something different and be unique. Let's before we talk about how to get people to your lead magnet, let's talk about CTAs for a second. So CTAs are interesting to me. Certainly, you know, you always want people to convert, but there's also something to be said about where do people actually see the CTA? Where does it make sense? Then we have on the flip side where people overdo it. When you have a CTA in, you know, whatever the downloadable piece is or whatever the gated content is, where does it make sense? So I'm thinking, so when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind is 12-page ebook call to action at the end. And I'm like, am I even getting to the end? I don't know. So how do you kind of maneuver that to have calls to action where they make sense? And where do they typically make sense in a piece like that?
Well, in a piece like that, I think, as you say, they're typically the right places at the end. And that's because, you know, your lead magnet is meant to be helpful and possibly educational. And it's not a hard sell. You know, really, it's not the place for direct selling. So it makes sense to put it at the end. Whereas if you were writing a social media post or an email, you might scatter some more calls to action throughout the piece. In a lead magnet, I think it's a little bit different because it tends to be more educational, tends to be more content marketing focused. I think it depends on the, you know, the format and the what it is that you're producing and the asset. I think, obviously lead magnets can range from calendars to downloadable wallpaper to webinars. But it would feel a little bit odd, in my view, if you were presenting a webinar and you were talking about your business too much at the start and talk about what it is that you're actually trying to promote as part of that. You might want to sort of mention it in passing, but obviously you wouldn't want to put up the details until the end of that webinar.
You know, I also think that the call to action sometimes comes in the follow-up, right? So, I mean, certainly you have the email and you just follow up. I mean, I've done webinars before where we don't even, and it was for software companies, a software company, and we didn't even talk about the product. We just talked about the problem the product solves, right? So when the sales team started, or whoever, maybe it was marketing, I don't know, but whoever reached out afterwards, people were like, oh yeah, that's a really good solution. Like, we didn't even know that's what the webinar was about, because the webinar was really just about rallying them up about the problem, really.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. The follow-up is key. And so many people sort of don't necessarily follow that through in the right way. And it's all about having the you know, a personal approach, deciding, as I say, it goes back to the strategic piece that I mentioned earlier, knowing how you're going to, you know, what sort of journey you're going to take the customer on, how you're going to follow up from that lead magnet, whatever it is, whether it's a webinar or an ebook or a quiz or whatever. You want to have that very clearly in your mind. I had one customer who got an awful lot of leads from her lead magnet, but then she moved them all into her general cold email marketing list. And I said, well, you know, why would you do that? You've got a list of warm leads here. You need to be nurturing them and actually treating them as quite a distinct set and talking to them in a much more personal way. They're interested enough in your services that you've got a set of warm leads there. Just, you know, make use of them.
Well, I mean, especially when people attend a webinar or show interest in a webinar or sign up for a lead magnet or whatever it might be, you know something that they care about, right? So like the content that you follow up with, in my opinion, needs to be very specific to that thing. So if you're attending a webinar on technical SEO, for example, to stick with that, you know, don't send me a general email to follow up and say, hey, we offer all these content services. Follow up with, hey, did you know this about technical SEO? Did you know this and this and this, right? I mean, it has to be specific to based on how the conversation started.
It does. And I think if it's, say, a webinar that somebody, an expert in your team has presented, then the follow-up, say it's an email nurture sequence, that needs to come from that person. It needs to be much more personalized. And literally the worst thing you could do is have some general email that's directed at everyone, including all the people you've never met before. It's worst thing you can do is just treat them like everyone. You know, it has to be really targeted and follow up in a meaningful way with them.
Yeah, that's really the way to do it. So I know we have about four, I don't know, I'm not good at math at 7:30 in the morning, but 5 minutes, 6 minutes left here for today's episode. Let's talk about it's to get people to your lead magnet. Now, certainly we have to create good content in the thing, make sure it's optimized for mobile, make sure it's optimized for the right user experience. But how do you get people to it? What are your best strategies for that?
Well, I suppose it's the same with lots of different marketing, and that you have to use as many different approaches to reach as many people as you possibly can. So I typically use social media a lot. From a lot of my clients who are in the B2B space, that means LinkedIn, a bit of X. But yeah, a bit of a mix. So some email marketing to them as well. Obviously promotion on the website. So making sure you're promoting it well on your homepage, but also elsewhere. I always have a dedicated landing page. I don't think it's enough just to send them to a form. You want to make sure that you're sharing as much information up front about what they can expect at that, you know, with that lead magnet. I think a whole multi-channel approach is best.
Yeah, I've also seen some success with, you know, just including it in blog posts, you know, SEO long-term. So I would like to hear your opinion about this, but I'm a big fan of, I know we all grew up in the world of campaigns, right? The yes. Start of a campaign, the end of a campaign. But what I found in content to work is it all compounds, right? I mean, like, let's think about this podcast. This is episode 636, yep. Right? Every episode compounds on the last one, right? Like there's a story that continues and it gets better over time, right? And I kind of feel the same for lead magnets, like include them on the website, as you mentioned, and blog posts and other things like that, Do you have any other tips when it comes to that, or do you wildly agree or disagree with that?
I think the website is a really important place to be promoting your lead magnet, whatever form that takes, and making sure it's really prominent. And obviously that's great from SEO, because obviously if it's a niche offering that you're promoting or sharing information on in your lead magnet, then you can use that to drive traffic. It's just like any other page on your website, but in some ways even more important to use that, from an SEO perspective.
Yeah, and especially, include it in your footer, include it everywhere else, those kind of things. Now, we connected. Do you remember how we connected? You were talking about lead magnets, and I thought, well, Karen, you need to come on the show and talk about this.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the Pro Copywriters blog. I'd written a blog for them.
It was. So you can check out that blog to learn more about lead magnets. But certainly it's an interesting topic. We also have an article on christophtrapp.com when it comes to gated and ungated content. That's, of course, always a very hot topic, honestly. What should you gate and what should you not gate? And of course, if you're going to do a lead magnet, that is a gated piece. Go ahead.
I've just got a couple of tips, because there are two things I think really important for people to remember when they're producing a lead magnet. One is, it can be quite time consuming. There's no doubt about it. So think about how you can repurpose blogs into maybe a guide and that kind of thing, or maybe use existing templates that you found useful in your business. Perhaps they could be repurposed into lead magnets or checklists. Maybe use a blog and turn it into a checklist. You know, it doesn't have to be a really lengthy ebook. In fact, I'd recommend that you don't have a really lengthy ebook as a lead magnet. So to think about repurposing content, that's the first thing. Or of course, you can hire a copywriter to help you. That's one tip. The other tip is, think about how often you're going to have to update that lead magnet. That's quite important. So as I mentioned earlier, I produce lead magnets on social media marketing, but that is changing all the time. So I have to keep refreshing it. So that is something to bear in mind, because obviously that's going to take time to do. Whereas some topics, if you're writing about wallpaper techniques, you may not have to refresh that quite as frequently.
I don't know, Karen. I think the wallpaper techniques industry has a word to say about that. But it probably doesn't change that often, but it's a good point. And repurposing content certainly is an important strategy. I'm a big fan of it. Blog posts, everything. I repurpose everything. We're going to take this podcast, turn it into an article, turn it into sound bites, turn it into, I think that might be it, a podcast as well. Karen, really appreciate you making the time. Thanks also for joining me on this bright and early hour here in Marion, Iowa. And give us a quick overview. Who are your perfect clients? The last 30 seconds here. Who should reach out to you?
Yeah, so I work mainly with B2B clients in the technology space, education, charity, property. As I say, mainly B2B. And I work on all sorts of things.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review the Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform, and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.